Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Miraculously, we're back!
What do you mean?
I don't know if you heard Cross Talk yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I was there.
Mistakes were made. I will admit, I started the mistakes. Didn't really think that through. But we are back. And unfortunately, the Texas Rangers are not. I really was hoping we were going to use this segment to scout the Packers, and we probably still will to a certain extent. But unfortunately, the dream came to an end yesterday, kind of like we thought it would. Will you go ahead and give me cut number 3 as the Rangers were officially eliminated from the playoff race?
And the pitch. Young swings. It's a high fly ball to left. This should end it. Coming on is Martin. He takes care of it, and the ball game's over. The Twins win it by the score of 4-1. The Rangers have been officially, mathematically eliminated from playoff contention.
And the sadness demonstrated in Eric Nandel's voice right there, I think, reflects what it feels as though Boach thought was the effort out there yesterday. We are scheduled to talk with him at 12:30. But then also, don't forget, tomorrow we'll still try to have some fun as we will be live from Globe Life Field from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. leading into the Rangers game. Look, I know it was trending this way for about a week and a half. Last night was still really tough for me as a Rangers fan, and I'm sure a lot of Rangers fans because, and Brett Boone said it with Sean and RJ, what, like 30 minutes ago. You look back a week and a half, you're right there. You're like one and a half games out, and now here you are.
Yeah, there was a moment yesterday where I was checking out the pregame show because as we were getting ready to head to my son's football game, the in-laws were there, my parents were there. It was a big festival at the house, and I was like, what better than to have the Rangers game on?
Right.
And there was a moment where Eric Nadel was interviewing Boach before the game, and even in the interview, Eric kind of made a joke, and Boach didn't want to laugh.
Yeah.
Because he's like, this is a serious moment in life. Then they mustered it up.
Sure.
And had a laugh about the moment. But you could tell, man, like this is brutal for him. He knows it's brutal for the fan base. For the whole season, we were holding on to hope that something special could happen all year long.
Yes.
And it was just a constant tease. We were on the edge the whole time this year.
Did it feel like the almost miraculous comeback only for your team to just lose in the end? And you're like, man, I kind of wish, and this is probably not how I really feel, but there's like this morning.
You know what? No.
Okay.
I know where you're going. I know what you're going to say. You kind of wish that it had ended earlier.
There's like
earlier.
A little part of me that thinks that.
So you could just give up on it earlier. No, I you know what, Kevin? A lot of times I say this and you hate it. It is the friends we made along the way. It is the
journey.
That
is the second person on this show that has said that to me this morning.
And this, that's part of what this season was I still enjoy. If it had ended earlier, I would have stopped paying attention. And there were other moments.
And I do love baseball.
There were other experiences that I had that I just absolutely love. And Kevin, at 1 o'clock today, I am going to share one of the reasons I think this is the greatest game.
Okay, great.
And it's because of something that happened at the game last night, despite what happened on the field.
Okay. All
but,
right.
But yeah, man, no, I don't wish that because there are, again, there are moments that happen that we were like, hold on, Cody Freeman did what?
Yeah.
Hellman did what? Like all these other little things that happened that now we can hopefully take over in the next season and see what we if we can make something better happen.
We got Ferguson Jenkins coming up in studio in about 40 minutes, 12:30. We will talk with Bruce Bochy, so plenty more baseball talk today from the 682. Hey, y'all, just broke up with my longtime girlfriend. Sorry about that. We were planning to get married, and it didn't work out, so I'm thankful for y'all being on the air and always putting a smile on my face, especially on days when it's hard to keep going. Tolo. I absolutely appreciate that. Story from my life, going back to Brandon's mom. We're about 3 months away from getting married, and she decided that she did not want to live up to those marital vows. So, we didn't get married either.
Real life alert, 10:06:57. Kevin, will you also share with me what you got on the way home after your son was born?
Yes. The Brandon?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I apologize. I know you have two children.
On the way home, we got a bucket of chicken.
I love it.
Because
I just love it.
This is our first kid, and I really didn't. I was like, we're never going to be able to leave the house again. So we got like the big old Mama Jamma family meal. So I was like, we need as many meals as possible. We have a baby. We're in our early 20s. We're not really prepared for any of this. And so we got a big old thing of chicken because, Alec, I really thought it was going to be impossible to leave the house. It took a few days for me to understand like how this system would work. But yeah, definitely. I was like, we need the most food possible in that moment. So we stopped and got chicken.
And chicken is delicious.
That's right.
Chicken is delicious.
Absolutely.
Cosine. You forgot yours yesterday.
I guess what?
You got your chicken?
It's in the fridge right now, boys. Right. Hell yeah. Really, lunchtime, 11:20.
Really happy for you, huh? In your face, Alec. In the meantime, can you go ahead and give me cut number 4 and we will start scouting the Green Bay Packers.
Play action. Love on the roll. The pump. Pressure comes. He finds his open man, and it's a touchdown. John Fitzpatrick's first NFL touchdown.
Now, we can talk about Micah Parsons as much as you want. I did make note, scouting the Packers, parentheses, outside of Micah. I get it. I feel like we know him better than probably any other player on the team. But I wanted to go ahead and dive into the Green Bay Packers. Do you want to start offensively or would you prefer defensively?
It really doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because of what I think this team actually is all around. But let's go offensively. They're without Jaden Reed.
Yes.
Jordan Love can throw the S out of the ball, dude.
He can.
He can spin it. Romeo Doubs is a very, very good receiver. Dontavion Wicks is fantastic. They have other receivers that aren't even healthy, which scares me even more. But Kevin, Matthew Golden is a burner. Do you remember what Luther Burden just did to
us? Yes, I do.
Why wouldn't you just run the flea flicker 8 times in this game and just be like, ha, you dummies. Matthew Golden has 8 touchdowns and has broken every receiving record known to man.
Look. And you might say, well, hold on just a second, Corey. Matthew Golden hasn't really done too much in his first 3 games. I think a very logical counter would be, ha 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 ha. What about Luther Burden, who in his first 2 games had made all of 2 catches for 2 yards, and that did not seem to negatively impact him against the Cowboys. So I think it's safe to say that that exact same theory could be in place right here, and you have to watch out for him. I guess I'm going to do my best to give you maybe one piece of good news.
I have a question before you do that. Will Josh Jacobs have 10 yards rushing?
Look, if I was Green Bay, the answer would be no.
Okay.
So people will tell you need to establish the run, and I get that. But at this point, my first 15 might have one running play in it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm throwing the ball at will until the Cowboys show me they can do any semblance of trying to stop it.
I'm right there with you.
And I just, at this point, what has led you to believe that will happen? I'm not saying it can happen, but going into it, if you're like, I know the Cowboys are going to stop the pass, what is that based on?
And that's the other thing too, Kevin. Watching Green Bay so far this year, they have been using the pass to set up the run. They're just like, just throw it deep. And we'll set up everything else underneath that by just throwing it deep. Good luck if you can stop us.
Yes.
And the Cowboys are like, well, we'll try.
Now, I was going to try to give you good news, but as Corey pointed out, good luck trying to stop the pass. But their leading receiver so far this year is the tight end, Tucker Kraft. And you're like, oh, great. Well, we struggle with that. Well, here's good news, I guess. Outside of the Washington game, when he had a tremendous game, Tucker Kraft, who is their leading receiver, has just 5 catches on 8 targets for 45 yards. So if you're like, hey, I'm looking at it, and I think the tight end is going to destroy us all day long, maybe so, but it's only one of the 3 games so far this year that I think he has been, like, really destructive to a defense. I will concede all day long that defense wasn't this defense. So if you want to text that in for any other points, you don't have to. I hear you.
Yeah, it'll really be down to what Jordan Love finds as the poison that he wants to pick for it. And Tucker Kraft has been it before. Hopefully he won't be it too much.
Yes. And on defense, can we talk about Rashawn Gary and Devontae Wyatt?
Good gosh.
Okay.
And how much Micah actually helps them.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Look, we talked about it. Wasn't that one of the reasons that a lot of us were, well, we were stoked about Ezeraku because he had a really good training camp. But you're also stoked about the prospect of Ezeraku having Micah to play off of or maybe get eased up coverages.
Or well, help other people.
Yes. Yeah. And now you're seeing that with Rashawn Gary and Devontae Wyatt. I know Devontae Wyatt is dealing with a knee issue. But him and Rashawn Gary have both been excellent this year. Rashawn Gary, this is not meant as a knock against Micah whatsoever, but he has been the player that has created chaos at the line of scrimmage, both in terms of getting sacks, in terms of stuffing runs. He has been phenomenal to start off this year. And then Devontae Wyatt, if you're looking kind of like outside, inside sort of vibe, he has been really good this year as well. And that's not, of course, to mention Micah Parsons.
Yeah, they haven't been moving on from getting Clark hasn't affected them tremendously.
It does not seem as though that is the case.
Jair Alexander. They're still doing fine in that respect as well. So
yeah. Now
team that had a lot of talent.
This is a possible positive that I want you to look at. The special teams for Green Bay is horrible.
Okay.
Now, it's a counter argument, Alec, because I can see your skepticism. It's a counter argument if you think that they have the advantage when it's Green Bay's offense against Dallas's defense, and you think it's an advantage when it's Green Bay's defense against Dallas's offense, and all I can give you is the special teams. Well, you know what, Alec? That's a fair-ass point.
Thanks.
But nonetheless, this special teams group for Green Bay is terrible. You go back, and I mean, you could just look at what happened in the last game. But if you go back and look at Rich Bisaccia's team last year, in the last 2 games alone, they gave up a 50-yard kick return, a 24-yard punt return, and they returned 3 punts for 1 yard and also had a missed field goal. They also fumbled a kick return and got fooled by a trick play, punt return, touchdown. Now, if you're like, well, that was this year, last year. What about this year? Okay, let's talk about this year. Obviously, there was the blocked field goal that led to their eventual demise against Cleveland. But go back and watch that game all the way through. They almost had another blocked kick against Cleveland. So if ever
you're... What's happening in the NFL?
I know, it really is. But I think Green Bay has shown, like, for the last, probably going back to last year, 6 games, that they have a real problem with this. So if you're going to be able to gain any traction in this game, I think you're going to really have to dominate and probably score points or specifically stop points on special teams.
This is where one of the Cowboys' biggest MOs comes in handy.
True.
Having players with long arms.
That actually is true. I will tell you, You're going to need to come out with a point differential on special teams. And I don't just mean kick more field goals. I mean, I think you're going to need some magic on a return, or you're going to need to specifically stop a Green Bay punt or field goal to realistically stay in this game. Because when you look at offense versus defense really both ways, it's a tough match.
Yeah, I think you're dead on right there.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, you know what? I hope it's okay with you. We're going to shift things around just a little bit because we've got Baseball Hall of Famer, former Rangers pitcher Ferguson Jenkins. He is in the building, and he's up next right here on The Fan.
Here's the pitch. Hey, got it, Gary Templeton! The 3,000th strikeout of his career. Gary Templeton goes down swinging. And Ferguson Jenkins being congratulated, throws the baseball into the dugout. All of his teammates coming out to shake his hand.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I know we were going to say 10:40. We could not wait. As soon as we saw Ferguson Jenkins, we demanded he come in the studio, and he said, could you ask nicer?
Yeah.
And I said, that's fair.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But right now, we bring to you Baseball Hall of Famer, former Rangers pitcher. It is Ferguson Jenkins. Good morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sir.
Good morning. Good morning to you, too.
Man, thank you so much for having us on. And also, we've got Carl Marquardt and Tony Khan. Am I getting that correct? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Because we also have a wrestling promoter from time to time that we have on named Tony Khan. I don't know if you have the same net worth as him.
I do not.
But that would be really awesome. So you guys are kind of, along with Ferguson, y'all help oversee the Texas Rangers fantasy camp. Is that correct?
Yes, that's our part of this puzzle here.
Okay, absolutely, absolutely. Now, Ferguson, I want to get to that, but last night was a really tough night for Rangers fans. They were officially eliminated from the playoffs. What is that? What's that feeling like for a player when you know that there's not going to be playoffs for you that season? Your season is over, even if it's still just September.
Well, I think the most important thing is it's a lot of hard work starts the spring training. Then you got a 162-game schedule to work on. And then management wants you to get to the playoffs.
Right.
That's the most important thing. Get to the playoffs. And there's three wild cards now to get to that situation to possibly maybe bring another World Series back to Texas.
Yeah.
So the hard work that you put in, and then that last week can be a disappointment because you go into a losing streak.
How did you feel when you saw the Rangers win the World Series? Because obviously we all lost our minds.
Oh, I was there. I think the nice thing about it, going to the games and seeing these young men play as well as they did, good pitching staff they had, offense, and the manager, who I know. But I think the nice thing about it, that's the guaranteed situation. Once you get there, it's a lot of hard work involved.
Yeah.
He just mentioned the manager who I know.
Bruce.
We have Bruce Bochy on. Actually, we have him on at 12:30 today.
All right.
He's fantastic. What do the Rangers fans have in him?
Well, he knows the game. And he's had some World Series situations with San Francisco first.
Yeah.
And then come to the Rangers. He knew that when he came here, he had the clientele that they could win. I think the stability part of it, that pitching staff they had, and the offense, he knew with hard work these guys could get there, which they did.
Yeah, and it was an awesome moment.
Really?
I love this game. I grew up playing T-ball, played it all through high school. Unfortunately, the game was done with me a little earlier than I wanted it to be. But I still love it so much. And I'm always curious from players who played at the highest level, when you and the game are done with each other, when you do you reflect back a lot? Do you have in your mind that moment of the perfect strike? How do you think about those moments on the mound?
Well, you know, the fun part of it, being a pitcher, you're in a lot of different situations.
Yeah.
Facing a lot of different well-known hitters. So you can reflect a lot of times pitching against Willie Mays in the National League, or Hank Aaron, all-star competition with Mickey Mantle, Rod Carew. I mean, there's so many things that you go through in the competition part of pitching against Bob Gibson or a Marichal or a Gaylord Perry, a teammate of mine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are a lot of fun to reflect back, because it took a lot of hard work to get there. And once you're there, the competition, they're going to put you against other good competition.
Yes.
So they want you to win. And I was very fortunate enough to have some success.
Sorry, when you remember those moments, are you able to only think about the good ones? Like, are you able to go,
I've had some bad ones, too.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm saying, are you like, hey, not today thoughts. I'm going to just think about all the good at-bats that I had against
Willie
Mays.
All the good things. So winning ball games, winning my first big league ball game with the Phillies, beating Bob Gibson in relief, winning my first 100th game, and then to finish out my career at 284. Against the Phillies at home in Wrigley Field, and then getting in the opportunity to get inducted to Hall of Fame. Those are really important moments of your life that you never forget. Never forget those.
One of our old coworkers, Mike Bassick, who is on the Rangers broadcast now, he left us to go pursue that, and we love him. But he always used to say that he talked to himself on the mound a lot, but he didn't talk nicely to himself. Did you have like your own dialogue with yourself when you were on there?
Well, the nice thing about it, it's all total memory a lot of times of guys you faced and the meetings you went over to prior to the game with you and the catcher or your middle infielders. You try to understand that where they're at in a situation, a lot of times you got to look back to see where they're positioning. But a lot of times you and the catcher do a lot of work together, because you're going to try to put that ball exactly where he wants it, inside, outside, high, inside. You know, it depends on the hitter.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the nice part of knowing the game. It's all total recall a lot of times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're talking with Ferguson Jenkins right here on 105.3 The Fan. We had this conversation, I believe it was yesterday, maybe Monday, that being from Canada, at first, you'll have to forgive our ignorance, we were like, why didn't he play hockey? And then we did, of course, more research. Will you tell everybody about how you played all of the sports and were pretty much good at all of them?
I went to an all-boys tech school, and 500 boys, so there were a lot of competition involved in that situation. Played a lot of hockey as a kid growing up. The scout that came to see me in my hometown, Gene DeJure, I was 15 years old at the time, and he wanted to find out what other sports I played. He came to the hockey arena, was watching me play hockey, juvenile all-star hockey. And I told him I'm a first baseman. They put the long, lanky kid at first base.
Yeah.
I love the game of baseball. I only play it in the summer months, May through September. And then as I progressed, he wanted to understand that with my arm, have you ever tried to pitch? I said, no, I don't want to be a pitcher. I'm a first baseman. I enjoy playing in the field and hitting. But he changed my attitude and my mind about the positioning of where I wanted to play on a field.
God bless him for that.
Really. And he knew more than I did that being a pitcher was going to probably get me a little further advanced in the sport of baseball. And then finally, to sign a professional contract with the Phillies.
What was baseball the sport you loved the most? Because I know also hockey and basketball. And like, what was the hierarchy of your personal enjoyment of those sports?
Well, as a kid growing up, I learned how to skate at the age of 4 years old.
Wow.
Hockey was my number one sport. I followed the Montreal
Canadiens.
Canadiens more than anything else, because they won so many championships.
Sure.
There's only six teams. Back then in hockey. And then I followed basketball because the Pistons were really close. I was close to Detroit and followed a lot of those individuals that played with the Pistons. So, and then baseball in the summer was a lot of fun to play. I enjoyed it, but I didn't think I was going to really be that good at athlete at baseball until I turned teenage, until I really started to learn how to pitch.
Well, obviously, we have a lot of Chicago transplants listening right now who they're like, hey, he's a Cub. And I feel like it's dual citizenship kind of deal with the Cubs and the Rangers. And I know one of the things that you guys are doing starting in January is the Texas Rangers Fantasy Camp. And I want to get all three of you guys involved because y'all helped set this up as well. But if
coaches list is insane.
I know. Okay. So
this is insane.
I just want to know, I guess, kind of to start, like, what got.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You involved in this fantasy camp because it sounds super fun.
Well, the first fantasy camp I did was in the early 80s.
Wow.
I shouldn't say that. Yeah, probably 80s. With Randy Hundley after I retired. 82, yeah. I think it was, in Scottsdale, Arizona. Randy was kind of the builder of the fantasy camps. And then he switched it off to a lot of different ball clubs. But I think the nice thing about it is the Rangers have so many good retired athletes.
Yeah.
That it would be ideal to do a fantasy camp and surprise to see so many different businessmen play against maybe your hero, Pete Incaviglia. I think Oliver was a pretty good. I played against his father.
Oh. Yes.
and Ruben Sierra. So there's so many different guys that had an opportunity to see their hero play on a playing field. And now you have the opportunity to maybe play against him.
I'm going to go ahead and go and
or have him as a coach.
Yes. I'm going to go and ask this question for you, Corey, if that's okay. Mm. Can Corey get a discount? Because I can tell that he's already ready to go January 7th to the 11th. Yeah. Is that what you were going to ask?
That's partially what I was going to ask. One of the things, we had Ruben Sierra on a while back, and he's got a couple of CDs, got a couple albums out there. So make sure you get him to sing for the group, because it's always a pleasure. Always. How we get to go out to Surprise every year for spring training. It's my favorite, our favorite thing. How perfect of a place is that for baseball, the community and the way that it's all built?
Well, you know, because of the fact that the Cactus League at one time only had six teams, and then they decided that let's divide it between the Cactus League, the Florida State spring training, and have 15 in each state. And believe me, because of the fact that these facilities are so well put together.
Oh, yeah.
Six diamonds, one main diamond. And a lot of the cities have two different major league ball clubs. They have two teams in Glendale, two teams in Peoria, two teams in Surprise. And what's nice about it is that all these different ball players come to spring training. And people love to see, and spring training fans love to follow their favorite ball club.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So that's the fun part of it.
Yeah, I always say, like, you can hit 2, maybe 3 games in one day if you really want to.
Totally.
If you really want to try hard enough, sure. You can definitely go see a bunch of teams play some ball.
Now, we're talking with Ferguson Jenkins, but also I want to include Carl and Tony in on this as well. So as far as Fergie Jenkins, Ruben Sierra, Colby Lewis, Jeff Russell, Darren Oliver, Mark McLemore, Steve Buschel, Pete Incaviglia, and if you're like, hold on, I didn't remember all those names, there's going to be more as well. Can you walk us through, like, some of the logistics involved in this whole camp, besides just like getting to see and meet and play alongside or against some of your heroes?
I'll kick that off. I mean, I went to 20 camps as a camper before I got into running these things. So
is that what inspired you to
absolutely
run it then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's cool.
What it is, you get from it, the first year you're really there, it's this wow factor. You go into a major league clubhouse and there's a locker with your name on it and personalized authentic uniforms with your name on them. And then you look to the left and there's somebody like Fergie in a locker just sure. a couple away. And then you find out he's your coach. In fact, he was my coach my first year. And then I got to bat against him and I grounded out to Ryne Sandberg. Oh, and I was so thrilled to be out because I had this story to tell. So, you know, it was great. And that's what you think that's what your first year is. You go home though, and you bring the memories and the camp friends with you and the bonds that you form with these other guys who you share this passion with and women. It becomes a life-enhancing experience. You come away with this richer life afterwards. It sounds odd, but that magic that happens between the clubhouse and the ball field just changes something.
And every businessman's dream is to get on the major league field, put that uniform on, yes. and play against your hero. Or
did you
play
get to wear the uniform
ballpark,
too?
Playing against the major league ballpark.
Oh my goodness! Can I get a discount?
So that's the fun part of it.
Well, and I just wanted to go through because I want to make this clear. I hope we have. It's not just meeting the players and seeing them or being coached by them. Like, you're going to be out there. You're going to be doing the thing.
Yeah, you're definitely going to be out there. I want to go back to one thing that Fergie touched on earlier. He did his first camp in the early 80s, which meant there's people out there who got to hit off of Fergie or try to hit.
Yeah.
While he was only 2 years retired from the game.
Right.
That's a different perspective.
So not a lot of kids are getting hits then.
But here you start out, you have breakfast, you get into the locker room, you get that whole experience of, you know, starting to communicate with your coaches. And you really get in the mindset that, hey, this is what I've always wanted to do. You play one game, you have lunch, you go out, you play a second game. There's two games a day for 3 days here. So you're playing six baseball games in 3 days. It can be tough on you. And we've seen people with, you know, injuries.
Full hamstrings. Bad backs, bad shoulders.
Everywhere.
Because they haven't really prepared themselves to play. Basically, it becomes really competitive.
I was about to ask how competitive it gets out there.
It does, really.
It becomes pretty competitive. But you're serviced by, we have professional trainers, umpires, we have the Texas Rangers clubbies in the clubhouse taking care of you, polishing your cleats every day, keeping your locker spotless.
This is amazing.
It's like, you know, you're in the major league clubhouse and you're treated like a pro. It's really a phenomenal experience from a service standpoint and from a fantasy standpoint. But it does get down to the people and the camaraderie. And that's something that you just almost have to live through to really appreciate.
You know what? The other thing is nice is that a lot of times fans don't really understand what batting practice is all about.
Yeah.
Or infield.
Yeah.
So now that you get that opportunity to have the coaches show you what batting practice is all about or how to field ground balls or catch fly balls. And you as an athlete that's done it before, but you haven't done it in 10 years.
Right.
it's strange. It's like jumping on a bicycle, learn how to ride again.
Okay. Every now and again, though, you have to really get on to somebody and be like, hey, we're not here to jack around, okay? Like, let me see some hustle.
Yeah, that's it. That's
okay.
Too.
All right.
No smoking on the field. Okay. You're a smoker. but that's the nice thing about it. You have that opportunity to rub shoulders with maybe your hero.
And from your perspective then, because I understand why this would appeal to the people who want to participate in the camp. From your perspective, how much joy or whatever is the right emotion do you take out of seeing these people kind of live out their dream?
Well, the nice thing about it, there's always failure. So you're going to see failure on a daily basis. But you try to rectify that by telling them, this is what you got to try to do to correct that.
Right.
But the nice thing about it is they are out there probably try to prove to themselves they still have a little ability left in that body.
When you were talking about you got thrown out by Ryne Sandberg, I know you were thinking, like, I can beat this throw from Rhino. Like, I'm going to leg out this infield single just a little bit, right?
Not realistically. not realistically. That fantasy is fantasy, but there's limits to the fantasy.
Yeah. But, you know, we had Tony on my ball club, too. I coached Tony. And Tony's a pretty good hitter. So putting together that situation on try to get a base hit.
Okay. How
against other campers or against the pros? And that's one of your fantasies.
Yeah, absolutely. How tough is Fergie as a coach then?
He's a good coach. He absolutely is a good coach, and he's always out there giving tips where he can. And but like you said, when you're in the game,
yeah,
all of a sudden something takes you back to a different time. And where you think you, in your own head, you've told yourself, I'm not going to die for a ball.
But you do.
I'm not going to slide. The minute you're out there, you it do. Just takes over.
No. Yeah.
It's just, it's another experience.
So WavelandEvents.com or TexasRangers.com/fantasycamp. If you've heard and you've been listening, January 7th through the 11th in 2026. And Corey, you brought it up just a minute ago. It's not only the experience and the uniform and everything. This is the Texas Rangers complex. Like if you're thinking
about... So Leaf Blower guy might be there.
He could be.
For our audience that knows Leaf Blower guy.
He could be. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to know to prep for your inevitable trip in January?
Wooden bats. That's what I'm working with. All wooden bats here. So
you can purchase your own bat, or they have bats supplied to you.
Okay. Oh my gosh, this is too cool of an experience.
Your own equipment. I mean, the nice thing about it is, the nice thing about it, if you think you want to be a camper, the relaxed part of coming to a big league situation can blow your mind from time to time.
Yeah.
Because now you're part of I think a fantasy that you're trying to live out yourself, which is really nice.
Well, for our bosses listening, if you want to go ahead and pencil Corey down for being off the week of January 7th to the 11th, I think that would probably be
good. Might not come back after I prove myself.
Oh! You know,
that's all I'm saying.
Well,
there might be some scouts. Might get a contract.
Yeah, okay.
Might see some scouts out there.
All right. So I wanted to get just any more other logistical thoughts or anything you guys wanted to add aside from, I don't know if this will be your pipeline to a major league contract. I'm so sorry, Corey.
You never know.
But is there anything else you want to throw out there that like maybe we haven't gone over that maybe people should know about the event coming up in January?
I'll throw this out. The Kangaroo Court's one of the highlights. To have these guys, the coaches find the players for their, sometimes it's as silly as they run back out to the field still wearing a batting helmet.
Okay.
You know,
or you forget your batting helmet and you're supposed to go to the plate to hit.
But any kind of jug-headed move that one of us is willing or inadvertently does during our attempts to be 12 years old again. But the stories these guys tell, and when the game's finished and the showering's done and everybody's still in the clubhouse, Fergie's one of the guys who will hold court. And we'll bring in some beers, and we basically just have happy hour and a bowl session, and let these guys tell phenomenal inside stories of when they played. And in many ways, that is the absolute highlight for me, is some of the stories I've heard over the years. Some of Joe Pepitone's stories back in the day, Fergie, come to mind. But some of the stories that people tell, Tim Stoddard's a legendary storyteller. This is from the Cubs camp that we do. Some of these stories are phenomenal, and they resonate with you, and they just become, once again, it becomes part of the fabric of your fandom, you know, your appreciation as a baseball lover, and to get that part of the, but go ahead, Tony.
I would just add, there are fantasy campers that come. Some have played college ball, and some never played organized Little League.
Oh.
And one of the great things is when you're out there, You've watched enough baseball, you know the game, and even though you might not be the best physical player, everybody does at least one great thing while they're there. And you see when they make that great catch or they get that big hit in the game, their personality changes and it all comes out. And it's just such an amazing thing to witness when that happens for someone else. Everyone is happy, coaches are happy, their teammates are happy. And it's just an amazing experience.
And one other nice thing is we're going to have a photographer there. And a lot of these games are recorded.
Okay,
so
cool.
So you can keep them. I know they have a lot of times the company will put a cassette together. And you could see exactly, maybe brag around Christmas time to your wife or your friends. And, hey, I got a chance to hit against certain people.
Or your enemies.
Or I played
That's
these games.
I would say.
But the photographer part of it, a lot of the pictures are listed in the clubhouse. And you can see exactly if you missed a ball went through your legs, or you missed a fly ball, things like that. But it can be a fun fun situation.
Kevin, as a child, I thought every time I shot a free throw when a car drove by that that scout was going to sign me for seeing me shoot that free throw. And I think that this is going to be my moment. So
all right.
I'm ready now.
Well, then, Corey, these details especially for you. But, of course, everybody listening and streaming, January 7th through the 11th, 2026, at the Surprise Stadium Complex. And you can find more info at TexasRangers.com/fantasy camp, TexasRangers.com/fantasy camp. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. Ferguson, thank you
Pleasure.
Very much. I am also already hyped for this camp. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's dive into some baseball nuggets right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Ryan Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for some baseball nuggets. Now, we're going to have to hustle this along because we were just having too much fun with Ferguson Jenkins. I hope everybody understands that. By the way, baseball camp, TexasRangers.com/fantasy camp. All right, let's talk playoffs. The New York Yankees clinched a playoff berth. That is their eighth playoff trip in the last nine seasons via a 3-2 victory last night. I do believe Aaron Judge was walked not once, not twice, but thrice in that game. Unfortunately, we also have to talk about the Mariners making the playoffs because
they're a good team.
I said I would believe it when I see it.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
I mean, there's still a few games left.
I mean, they did make the playoffs, though. But this was amazing. This is only the sixth time they've ever made the playoffs.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes.
How long have they been around? Since like 1991?
It's since before that. But yeah, only the sixth time that they've made the playoffs. And I think that might feed into my idea of I'll believe it when I see it. Because like the Rangers don't have the most playoff appearances in the world, but also they didn't make the playoffs for their first 23 seasons. So it took a really long time. And then once they started making the playoffs, they still didn't make it, you know, all the time. But they have done significantly better. So congratulations, I guess, to the Mariners. They have made the playoffs for the sixth time in franchise history, obviously looking to win the division. Now, this is on the opposite end of the spectrum. I guess they made history, so congratulations. And by the way, the Mariners are almost locked to win the division. The Cleveland Guardians, they defeated the Tigers last night after a wacky sixth inning, which not only sees them get the win, but it clinches the season series and gives them the tiebreaker versus Detroit if they finish with the same record. So right now, even though they're tied, Cleveland has control of first place, which means that the Detroit Tigers become the first MLB team since at least 1900.
That's when baseball began.
It was even before that, but I don't know.
One of these days, we're going to figure that out.
But it, since at least 1900, to lose a divisional lead of 15 and a half games. The next team on there is the 1914 Braves.
Oh my gosh.
Who lost, which you know that team wasn't in Atlanta. I'm assuming it's the Boston Braves. To be fair, I did not actually look that up. They lost a 15-game lead. So yes, now it is a standalone comeback for the Cleveland Guardians. It is truly astonishing. They've been able to make up all this ground. And then on the flip side, if you're the Detroit Tigers, obviously a lot still to go in the season. They're only one game up on Houston for a playoff spot at all. So Cleveland or Detroit could still fall out of the playoff
race. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
No, so you hope it does happen.
Houston.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
Out of the 100%.
Playoff. You're
right. And you can say, oh, you guys spend a lot of time whining about Houston. Well, I'm a fan of the Rangers. Hey, Kevin, the Boston Braves. 1941 to 1952. Then they became the Boston Bees from 36 to 40, and they were also the Braves again from 1912 to 1935.
Man, can you imagine if just like the Rangers just changed their name? Like, I know we've seen it more contemporarily with like the Washington Bullets and the Hornets.
They were
stuff.
The Boston Red Stockings for a few years,
right.
The Boston Red Caps, the Boston Bean Eaters, the Boston Doves, Rustlers. Then they went on to be the Braves, Bees, Braves, Milwaukee Braves.
Mm.
And since 66, they've been the Atlanta Braves.
Okay.
So now you know the facts, and that is the rest of the story.
Thank you very much for that, Mr. Corey Majors. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.